This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Ah, feels good, man. Listen, it's 3:09. We got 50 minutes left before we hand it off to the news and sports talk. They're going to come in here and tell you all about how the Saints are going to deal without Eric McCoy at center this weekend, or the 5, 6, 7 weekends after that. God help us. But for now, hey man, let's just kind of unclinch. No more politics. No more abortion. We're going to set that down. No more of that today. What I want to do with the remaining time that we have together is just kind of take a trip down memory lane. And we got kind of two ways that we're going to do this. We're going to continue to play more of your high school graduation songs, your class songs. Got some really great songs. There's one song we're going to play later that's a real head-scratcher. I don't know what compelled people to choose this as their class song, but I bet this song has never been played on WWL before. And not because it shouldn't be, but just it's kind of a deep cut from a relatively obscure band who was popular in the early 90s. So we'll play that a little while later, but we also got some other, more familiar tunes to play from our high school graduations and beyond. So we'll talk about that, but we're also going to talk about Canal Street. In about 15 minutes, I'm going to speak to a gentleman whose name is, where is that paper? Yes, Rene Pastorek, who is the Chief Economic Development Officer for the Downtown Development District. We'll talk about Canal Street. You remember when it used to be like the crown jewel, like it was this beautiful, shining place with nice, clean, put-together buildings and all the big, beautiful department stores. During the news, I just did some Googling. I wanted to see some old pic because, you know, I only got here in 2002. I don't have any memories of shopping on Canal Street, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond. I've studied a lot about New Orleans, so I think I know more than somebody who just came in off the boat or what have you. But I just saw some great old postcards, some great old beautiful photographs from Canal Street in the 60s and 70s. All those beautiful department stores, the Maison Blanche, you got your D.H. Holmes, your Gus Myers, your Godchos. Man, if you want to call me and tell me what it was like to shop in one of those, I would love to hear from you, and I bet lots of other people would too. Let's just kind of reminisce. You can color it in for me what the experience was going into the D.H. Holmes, standing around there like, oh, man, like you're in Confederacy of Dunces or something. We'll talk about Canal Street. We'll talk about the future of Canal Street. They got revitalization plans. Let's see if I got this right. The city council asked the planning commission to do the study to make recommendations back to the city council about how to improve Canal Street, attract investment dollars, bring in some new businesses, and not just more t-shirt shops, your voodoo gumbo, your, you know, Zydeco alligator t-shirt shops. They're fine. We're all here to do. I understand. Those are good, hardworking people who are selling shirts and beads and tiny alligator heads. People like that stuff, I guess. But there's too many of them. Straight up, too many of those little shops. I would like to see some bigger brands, some more impressive commercial enterprises than that go into some of these empty places on Canal Street. I'm definitely going to ask Renee, my guest, why nobody's using those upper floors. I don't want to say nobody's using them, but most of those are vacant. Why? You can't put some condos or apartments are up there? Or you get short-term rental if you're nasty. But like, come on, man. That's prime real estate. You don't think there's people that would want to live up there or stay up there or have office space up there? I bet they would. So we'll find out from Renee what the issue is. But I would love for you to keep, just share with me some of your Canal Street memories. Speaking of graduation songs, in the last hour, we kind of got into a tangent about this song. What's it called? We Will Always Remember Graduation Day. There was some confusion about who the original artist on that was, and was it different from the Beach Boys song? It is. I must admit, I was not familiar with this song before today. I listened to it a little bit during the news, and we were going to play this for you right now. This is Stark Whiteman, and this is We Will All Remember Graduation Day. Wow. It's kind of haunting.
Yeah, I noticed that when it started with the record crackles at the beginning.
Yeah, if it starts with the record scratch, you know it's going to be a little bit haunting.
Somebody called and said Stark wasn't even the original singer. It was a group called the Four Freshmen.
Yeah, I got a text over here that says it was the Four Freshmen. Well, who was it? I don't know. Hey, thanks for everybody who texted in and helped us straighten out who that was. That's a nice tune. Hope that made some people feel nice. Let's go to Terry in Slidell. Terry, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, hold on, Ian.
Sure.
World, man.
What? Huh? What?
Joy to the World. Joy by to Three Dog Night.
Oh, that was your graduation song.
No, that's what we played. But anyway, I know you didn't talk pop, but I've been on hold. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, they were trying to build a casino in Slidell. And they had this guy, Reverend, who was running a school and stuff like that. And he was saying about how bad it is and it's going to bring crime.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. That was.
Deja vu.
Yeah.
What
go ahead.
Goes around comes around. He's going to jail for child abuse for 50 years.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
my
the one that
God.
Got. He's the one that got. He was the one that taped the kids' mouths and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm almost sure that was the same guy. He was on there. And we can't have that in St. Tammany Parish. It's going to bring crime. It's going to bring that. I'm almost sure that's the same guy that was on Scoot Show saying all that stuff. And now he taped some kids' mouths, and they got him for child abuse and stuff like that. I think he's going to jail. I mean, what about that? I'm trying to think of the right word. Not deja vu, but what is it? Karma.
Yeah, let's see if...
Karma. He was against the casino because it was going to be bad. Well, guess what? It's going to be bad for him, too.
Man, why can't people just... You know, you can stand up for kids and, you know, wholesome family activities, and you can say gambling is evil and, you know, it's going to bring crime. But why you gotta then also turn around and be a... Oh, man. I don't want to say too much more about it because I'm a little over my skis and I want to make sure I totally understand who we're talking about and what the accusations are. But man, I hate that kind of hypocrisy, man. That sucks. Hey, let's go to Andrea on line one. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi. First of all, I have 2 points. My memory of Canal Street is going walking window shopping with my mother and mother-in-law and looking for dresses for all of my showers and wedding parties. And it was just wonderful.
Man.
Wonderful. The other thing is the year I graduated, 1969, and the song is Summer of 69.
And who was that? Who was that artist?
I don't remember.
Well, because I just know
the song is Summer of 69 is the song.
It's not the John Cougar Mellencamp song, right? Because that didn't come
Brian
out until
Adams.
Later. Oh, it's Brian Adams. Is that it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll try and figure that out for you, Andrea. Thanks so much for calling in. I know that song,
thank
the
you.
Summer. No, thank you, ma'am. Thanks for listening. Call anytime. I know that song, The Summer of 69. I thought that was Mellencamp.
It may be.
Got my first real six string, had a band, yeah. And we tried real hard.
But the Googles say it's Brian Adams.
Joey left. Jimmy got married. Summer of 69. I don't know. Here's a text message that says, in the 60s, I would go to Canal Street only on Sundays. Oh, sorry. I would go to Canal Street only in my Sunday best. My grandma would wear a hat and gloves, but now it's the slums. Well, I don't know if it's the slums. I think there were some bad years there back in the 80s when it, you know, downtowns everywhere were really struggling. But, you know, I wouldn't call it the slums now. I live pretty close to there. Is it the same place it was 50 years ago? No. But, you know, people still do business down there. There's plenty of restaurants and shops and stuff.
You know what I'd love to see on Canal Street?
What?
Have you ever tried those Metaverse VR headsets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are so cool. They're like fully immersed. I would love to see a place where they give you, I've seen them online, where they give you the headset and then they put you in this little spherical hamster ball type deal and you can actually run around safely. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like that movie Player One. So they put you in this room and they put the headset on you and they give you a little VR headset.
Yeah.
But instead of you having to stand still like you would do at your house, they put you in this little
halfway. A hamster ball?
It's like a little treadmill kind of hamster weird. It's like a half a golf ball. And when you run, it actually tracks your movements.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're stationary. You're not going anywhere.
Oh,
you can turn
man.
And all that. That would be awesome to have a VR sort of play park, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You could go and be you say, I want to, show me Canal Street, 1963. And it would have all the stores there, all the big, beautiful department stores. And you could go in and buy the stuff that they sold at the department stores.
Yeah.
Clothes, perfume, baggage, I don't know, luggage.
Yeah, those VR stuff, the technology is amazing. You can pretty much go wherever you want. But
man. Get out of here. Here's a text that says, hey, this is Nancy from Algiers. Our class song for graduation was To Dream the Impossible Dream. We just celebrated our 55th class reunion this weekend. We had a great time. Nancy, thank you. To Dream the Impossible Dream. I think that's got to be the one from Lord of La Mancha. To Dream the Impossible Dream. Yeah, the Don Quixote story. Yeah, that's a great tune.
I know when I was a kid, I thought his name was Don Quixote, not
Don Quixote.
Yeah, I thought it was Don Quixote, but not now. When I grew up, I realized it was Don Quixote.
Don Quixote. Well, if you say it fast enough, you can't really tell. You can kind of say the same thing with oh, I'm from San Diego. You're from where? I'm from San Diego. Oh, you've
not
never been?
Sandy.
Not San Diego or San Diego. I'm from San Diego. Diego. Here's a text message from Pat. Pat says, Ian, my oldest daughter's graduation song was Graduation by Vitamin C. My youngest daughter's song was History by One Direction. Both have great lyrics. We made a baby picture slideshow to both. Tears were flowing. That's beautiful, Pat. I love that for you. I don't have quite the same relationship with the Vitamin C song that you do. I've heard it 5 billion times in contexts that were not heartwarming or touching in any way. So I've kind of had my fill of that. I decided not to put that on our list of graduation songs today. A little too on the nose, frankly. I will get to more of your text messages when we come back. But right now, let's make room for my guest, Renee Pastorek. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. We'll find out in a minute. Renee is the Chief Economic Development Officer for the Downtown Development District. More than any other song that I solicited requests yesterday, I said, hey, text me in your graduation songs and we'll play them on the show tomorrow. More than any other song, we heard this. The Animals. This is a great graduation song. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. It slaps. It moves, it's got rhythm, it's got feeling, the message is on point. The song is on mission for a graduation song. Thanks to everybody who told us, we got to play The Animals. We got to get out of this place. More great graduation songs coming up next right here on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's get a look at afternoon traffic with Joe Cardosi. I'll be right back after this. I'm Ian, in for Scoot.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
WWL. You'll miss them when they're gone. That's everybody's free to wear sunscreen. I don't think that's Baz Luhrmann, though. Coleman, is it? Who's the artist on that?
I guess this is a cover. John Abrahams and Quentin. I tried to find the original, but it's like I couldn't find it.
That's odd. Maybe it's not on. Sometimes they take stuff off of Spotify. Anyway, that's everybody's free to wear sunscreen. The original artist was Baz Luhrmann. That's another class song that got used a lot. It literally starts out saying, "Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99. So in 1999, it was very popular. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds still don't know what they want to do with their lives. I know what I want to do with my life. I want to talk to Renee Pastorek, the Chief Economic Development Officer for the Downtown Development District. Renee, thanks for being a part of the show today. Appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this Canal Street revitalization effort. There have been efforts in the past before. There's been multiple Canal Street revitalization efforts over the decades. Tell us about what those efforts yielded and what might be different this time.
You know, I think that over the past 20, 30 years, there's been numerous efforts to revitalize Canal Street. Some of those efforts we still have today. You know, we've seen streetscape improvements, the palm trees, of course, the streetcar, and our brickwork that all happened right before Katrina. There's been huge retail attraction efforts by the DDD and some of our partners over the past several years that have yielded pretty good results. We're also in the throes of some pretty large revitalization projects. You know, Caesars is being renovated, over $300 million project. The aquarium just went through a renovation. But I think right now the impetus is really about looking at what hasn't been done in the past, you know, getting back to basics, seeing what players need to be involved to really make Canal Street a priority, make sure that every piece of this very large corridor that has a lot of moving parts are working.
Okay, great. So Canal Street holds an important place in a lot of people's hearts, a lot of great fond memories of shopping there and eating there. It also holds pretty significant historical and cultural importance, not just to New Orleans, but to the state, really to the region. Whether that was the glory days as a major hub of, you know, commerce and industry, or it's Canal Street had a not insignificant role to play in the civil rights movement. How do you balance preserving the cultural legacy of Canal Street with the need to revitalize and modernize it?
Well, I think one thing we do well in New Orleans is we really care about our history, and with any sort of project or revitalization effort, we're always careful to preserve and maintain the character that exists in this really unique city. You know, we do look at other cities around the country and the world when envisioning revitalization efforts. One thing we always make sure of is that, you know, we take into the context what exists on the ground in New Orleans as a unique city, so that we're, you know, making sure that all the people involved in the unique history of Canal Street can really be a part of what we plan for the future.
And great. Okay, excellent. Tell me, what do you think are the specific factors that led to Canal Street's initial decline? And how do you account for that in the new strategy of how to bring it back, so to speak?
Well, you know, Canal Street, as you know, many years ago was really the regional shopping street of the South. Before online shopping, before, you know, some of our regional peer cities blew up, you know, people from around the South would come to Canal Street to do their shopping on an annual basis. Of course, city residents would go every weekend, get dressed up. And times have changed. You know, online shopping really started, you know, two decades ago. And of course, since the pandemic has really just exacerbated. And I think those instances of, you know, changing market dynamics has really had a huge impact on Canal Street and our major retailers. I think if we're looking to the future of how visitors and residents want to engage with their city, I think one of the greatest things about New Orleans, like I just said, was, you know, we're such a unique place. Canal Street has the bones and has a very unique history. And if we can lure and attract local retailers to take over some of these vacant spaces to really showcase what our culture and what our city has to offer, we can bring it back in a way that brings those shoppers looking for unique experiences, maybe not looking for those day-to-day goods, but they're coming to engage, to really see unique art, unique merchandise, et cetera.
And great. Great. Let's talk about some infrastructure issues. You know, the sidewalks, you know, better than they used to be, but there's still some work that needs to be done. In one of the articles I read for research on this, the folks over at Rubenstein's said, you know, somebody just stepped in this hole wrong and ended up in the hospital. So we got sidewalk repair. You got broken traffic lights that are some of the more immediate concerns, especially for, you know, somebody like myself. I'm a French Quarter resident. I'm walking up and down Canal Street, you know, 6 or 7 days a week. How does the Downtown Development District plan to address these very basic maintenance needs?
So one thing to point out about the DDD is that we provide a service through an additional tax assessment to the district that's supplemental to basic city services. So right. We have our public safety rangers that roam the streets that add extra eyes on the street. We provide additional security services, private security officers, as well as our clean team who do the regular street cleaning every day, the pressure washing, the pan and broom cleaning, as well as graffiti, as well as graffiti removal. Mm-hmm. With respect to maintenance, however, you know, outside of large infrastructure projects that maybe, you know, could be iconic and, you know, kind of a larger effort, that's really outside of what we can do, but what we intend to do is advocate to the city that these basics do have to be taken care of. You know, as you know, brickwork, crosswalks, lights, all of these things add to the entire, you know, experience when you're on the street. And so if we can take care of those things and advocate for the city to expend resources to take care of that on a regular basis, I think that we'll start to attract the investment we want to see.
Great. And it's not just, you know, the physical built environment when we're talking about safety. We also, we cannot skip over crime and public safety in that regard. Those are obviously going to be major factors in any resurgence. People have to feel comfortable. They have to feel safe, not just really safe, but extremely safe. You know, if they're going to come back down there and shop and eat, especially if, you know, they've been away for a long time and they have a perception that it's, you know, like Thunderdome out there. What role do you see the DDD playing ensuring that this area feels safer for residents? I know it's, there's only so much you can do in terms of actually moving the ball down the field in terms of improving public safety. What can you guys do to make sure the area feels safer for residents, businesses, and visitors?
So one thing we're doing right now is actually an infrastructure effort on some of the 100 blocks right off Canal Street into the French Quarter. And so we see the Canal Street corridor as really being the street as well as the 100 blocks on either side, because really, you know, this is a large corridor with hotels, with stores, everything. All of that matters to the pedestrian walking the street. So we're looking at and working with an architect to design lighting improvements, banners, street murals, et cetera, ways to really make these corridors feel attractive as gateways to the French Quarter, as well as safer. So, you know, we took a night walk with our architect looking at every single building to determine, you know, are the lights off? What could be added here to really just brighten up the street and just make people feel safer as they walk up to Canal Street? And ideally, you know, as funding becomes available, we can do the same effort, you know, use the same playbook throughout Canal Street and those other 100 blocks throughout the corridor.
How do I get invited on one of those walk-alongs, Renee? That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Believe me, I'm such a busybody when it comes to this kind of stuff. If you were like, hey, we're all going to go and walk around and just point at each building and say, you know, what could be improved. Man, you'd never hear the end of it from me. I would love to do that. Talk to me about all those vacant upper floors. You know, we see, you know, whether it's a T-shirt shop or a restaurant or a Foot Locker or whatever down there, everybody's got a second, third floor, you know, on top of those buildings that by all appearances seem like they're empty. So why aren't those being used right now? I would think that that's really prime real estate, that the folks who own those properties would be really eager to monetize that space. What gives? What's the holdup?
So this is an issue that has been identified in those studies going back 20, 30 years. A lot of the issues have been with building codes and, you know, minute details in renovating buildings that require additional fire safety exits, et cetera, that make renovating the buildings more difficult. However, many of those issues have been overcome by several developers over the last 20 years. In fact, even in the past year, we've seen three upper floor renovations come to fruition, one being the Rubenstein's Hotel. It's Sugar in the next block, which is a candy store with a hospitality segment above. And then the Mayfair Hotel further up canal, right next to the former Hard Rock site. That's actually about to open as a full upper floor renovation hotel. And there's been numerous others in the past decade as well.
Very cool. All right. What types of businesses or residential developments would you like to see come into fruition? If you have your magic wand and you can just go down there and be like, boom, condos, you know, bam, Apple Store. What do you do? What's your top priorities?
I think one of the top priorities for me is really bringing local retail into these locations. A lot of the spaces along Canal Street are small, just given the history of these older buildings. You know, I mentioned online shopping has changed market dynamics for people who are going to seek merchandise. And, you know, these smaller footprints are actually more amenable to those local retailers who may just need a small footprint, maybe starting their own business. So as we work with property developers to ready their sites for development, as we work with the city to address the maintenance issues and, you know, continue the progress we're seeing on crime, we can start working with our partners at economic development agencies to hopefully bring new businesses that represent the culture and the artistry and the, you know, the history of New Orleans into those spaces so we can have a truly New Orleans experience along Canal Street.
Great. Love that. Renee, we're winding down here, but I did also just briefly want to talk to you. I know we didn't plan to talk about this, but I think people are curious to know. All the preparations for the Super Bowl, all the street construction that's going on down here around Poydras, and I know there's more slated for the French Quarter, the street between Charter Street, between Jackson Square and Esplanade. My God, it's like the surface of the moon out there. How excited are you for these projects to be completed?
I'm very excited. You know, these are improvements, like I said, that we've been advocating as an organization for a long time. You know, with the Super Bowl coming, this is an incredible opportunity to build a great face for the city, to showcase to the world 20 years after Katrina that, you know, not only did we come back the last time we hosted the Super Bowl, but we've come back stronger and better than ever. And I think these improvements are really, you know, an opportunity to showcase that.
Kick-ass, Seabass. My guest is Renee Pastorek, the Chief Economic Development Officer for the Downtown Development District. Thank you for your time. You're working your way, Renee. Give me a call when it's time to do another one of those walkabouts here.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a great week. We'll talk more about Canal Street when we come back. I see Michael and Kenner. We'll start out with you, bud. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to more of your calls and texts. I kind of made an audible here. We were supposed to play a different song right here, but so many people sent me in text messages like this one. The problem with Canal Street is that all the crime happens and is overlooked on a daily basis. The CVS on Canal has one of the highest profit and the highest loss statements due to blatant theft. I used to deliver there, and thieves would hop from there to Walgreens and two other stores in the quarter like clockwork. P.S., my graduation song was The Graduation Song by Vitamin C, 2004. I didn't want to play this song because I don't like it.
I wish the audience could see the cringe in your face right now. Like,
I hate this song, man. Grandison. I'm glad for Vitamin C that she made $1 billion off this one song. Doesn't mean I have to like it. Ugh. I'm Ian Hoken for school. Be right back after this. Wow. Why would this be your class song? What does it mean? What's the emotional texture of this song that you would want to play to your graduation? Till death do us part, love you with everything.
This is a wedding song.
In my heart, yes, I swear. Mm-hmm. Saxophone. I swear by All for One. Somebody texted yesterday. They said, hey, man, our class song was I Swear by All for One. I don't get it either, but there it is. Ooh, a key change. Let's go to Michael and Kenner on line one. Michael, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to address the parking issues around Canal Street. You know, they want to bring more people back, and we have season tickets to the Sanger, and we usually go out to a nice restaurant. But parking's a really pain. And if they want to bring more people down there, I think they ever have to have a master plan for parking to make it more accessible and easy for people to get to the Central Canal Street.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, Michael. When you would come down to go to the Sanger and go out to eat, where did you park?
Well, we used to park across from the Roosevelt, and it got so bad, we actually changed our ticket from Saturday night to Thursday night because it got a lot easier. But, you know, when they have events down there, it's awful. And then they all raise their prices, and it gets too expensive. And I'm talking for the family, their kids. They need to have a master plan for that. And it don't have to be a parking lot in the middle of Canal Street.
Right.
Bring it out on the outskirts where the street car can service it, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you're spot on, Michael. I think in my observation, it's not a lack of facilities. It's just that they are far too expensive for somebody who's already paying, you know, maybe a couple $100 for show tickets. You go out for a drink beforehand, you're going to dinner, and then you got to pay what, $40-$50 to park your car in there for a couple hours? Give me a break. I'm not going to do that.
I agree, and I just hope they keep that in mind when they come up with a new plan to bring the business. And it's going to be interesting to see how to get rid of some of that business they don't want down there.
Yeah, you're right.
Because there's a lot of businesses that do not belong down there.
Yeah, you got to. Some of those people are not going to want to go. Looking at you, Hollywood Spa. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, Michael. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Phyllis. Phyllis, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Oh, fine. I was just calling about that graduation song.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, it was the Stark White.
Yeah, the graduation one. Song is... We Will All Remember Graduation Day.
Yeah.
That's the name of it by Stark Whitman.
Yeah. Maybe I keep getting this wrong. Is it Whiteman or Whitman?
I don't know. I think it's probably pronounced Whitman. W-H-I-T-E-M-A-N.
Yeah. I think it's spelled with an E in there, like Whiteman, but that just sounds weird
right.
when you say it.
I bet it might be Whitman.
I bet you're right, Phyllis. I bet it's Whitman. So you remember that song from when you were a little girl, maybe?
I surely do. It's, I was born in 1948.
Oh, so yeah, you were, gosh, I guess 11 years old when that song came out, huh?
Yeah, thought of that, right? And talking about Canal Street, I tell you, it was just a beautiful, wonderful place at Christmas time. They had all the animation in the department store windows and homes and D.H. Holmes and Maison Blanche. And that's when we had the drugstores that had the little octagonal tiles on the floor and the soda jerks. And, it was just a wonderful place, you know, with the lunch counters and the wooden floors and... Oh, it was a real classy place. I can remember Christmas time walking up there with your little fur coat on, your fur hat, and visiting, looking at all the animation in the windows. It was just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Phyllis,
you know?
I am just beaming listening to you talk about that. I would kill to go in there and get a root beer float or something. You know, that sounds great. Phyllis, I got to move on, but I so enjoyed speaking with you. Give us a call anytime. Stay tuned. Have a great night. We'll finish up with Whitney in Metairie. Whitney, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, sir? I'm glad you took my call. But was she that lady was talking about? And she made it on blonde. So you said Mr. Bingo there, you know, and it was awesome. Mr. Bingo and all the Christmas lights, like you said, on Neutrogram and everything. And I remember I lived in the Ninth Ward, and we'd catch the bus and pay 7 cents to catch the bus to Rampart and Canal and go to Woodward because we didn't have no air conditioning. We had window units in the kitchen by our house. Uh-huh. So we would go there to spend the day. And one other thing I want to say was my favorite song was Hot Fun in the Summertime.
When
you graduate school.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that song.
Sly and the Family Stone, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, Dad. And we used to catch the bus to Pontchartrain Beach for 7 cents, man. And go listen to, and go over there swimming and go to the rides and everything.
That sounds incredible.
I remember going to the Sanger Theater and spend $1. I went and seen Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with Clint Eastwood, and it cost $1 to go to the Sanger, man.
How cool. Yeah, Mr. Whitney, I really enjoyed speaking to you. Thanks for being a part of the show today. We got to stop here. We're going to get a look at traffic with Joe Cardosi, and I'll come back and say goodbye. But first, the song that got the second most mentions for people's high school graduation song. Here it is. Ooh, we got like a weird live version. What are we doing here? No, stop. Turn that off. Turn it off. Go get the version from Nimrod. Song time is 2:33. We're going to do this right. You see it? There you go. Now take it up to 40. Here we go. This is Good Riddance / Time of Your Life by Green Day. They use this They use this in the final episode of Seinfeld. This, like, song's a phenomenon. It's about, you know, new chapters in your life. Here you go. All right, we'll take a look at traffic with Joe Cardosi, who better not have anything sarcastic to say about Green Day. I'm Ian Hoke. I'll be right back. Okay, before we jump off, I want to make sure I thank my studio producer, Coleman. 5 stars, no notes. Along with Endless Joe Cardosi on the traffic and Chris Miller in our news department. Crucial thanks to Scoot for his support. Executive producer Jordan Fiegel. All hail Jordan, Lord of the Nasdor. And program director and brand manager Diane Newman and market manager Dan Barron for the opportunity. This show and every show on WWL is available to hear, download, and share at WWL.com and the Odyssey app, where you can also rewind the show. You can follow WWL on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shout out to PressWatchers.org editor Dan Frumkin. Watching the press is dirty work, but somebody's got to do it. Props to Kim Tran from the New Orleans Drifters. They're out there doing family-friendly Fast and Furious. Check it out. But they don't have Ludacris. Yet. To Victoria Elliott with Wired Magazine. Hey, let me know if you hear about any more Russian spies looking for a place to invest $10 million. I'm ready. Huge ups to Anti-Gravity Magazine editor-in-chief Dan Fox. See you in the pit, man. Big ups to New Orleans Health Director Jennifer Avegno and Renee Pastorek with the DDD. Lots of love to Nikki Diamonds, D. Rose, Randy the Storyteller, and the inimitable JMD. Plus, Brett, Kat, and Mr. Owen at Majoria's Commerce Restaurant. Keep those hash browns coming, guys. Godspeed to Matthew and everyone keeping the fight alive in Ukraine. Hey, I got a split and head out to Saints headquarters. I understand they're looking for who can step in for Eric McCoy at center this weekend. My groin is very healthy. Thanks to everyone who called and texted during the show. If you loved what you heard today, get a friend to listen too. Up next on Sports Talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve. Bobby, Mike, and Steve talk about sports until 7 o'clock. But as for me, 5,000, G, I'm out of here. 5,000, we out of here, G. We out of here. We out of here.